Christopher, hi. Nice to see you again. This is the last video for a little while, and a magnificent series of destinations, I think, in this one. It's about diving in Africa, around Africa, and also combining that with land-based safaris, which
Yep.
sounds like the perfect ultimate trip, of course. Can you tell us a bit about them? Where, when, how much?
Sure. It's a big continent. It's a lot bigger than people think. Mainly because the perception that we have of Africa is one that's given to us by the maps that we look at school, which are not drawn to scale. You'll appreciate as a photographer, it's a bit like a fisheye lens, and all the stuff that's in the middle, notably Africa, is actually small in comparison to the stuff that's on the edge that's all stretched. In reality, in terms of surface area, if you turned the rest of the world into Tetris pieces, you could fit North America, South America, China, Russia, and India all within the African continent. Look it up. There's a really good, quite a few websites now that show, do like an animated version of it. So Africa is absolutely massive. We cover diving from the southern tip in Cape Town in South Africa, all the way up the Atlantic and Indian Ocean coastline, up to the equator to Pemba Island, which is the northern point of the Zanzibar archipelago. So there's a lot of ground to cover. I'll just try and give a little brief summary of each place. So we start at the bottom. Cape Town was known as being a great place for great white shark encounters in cages. But probably 5, 6 years ago now, the great whites disappeared. They found the carcasses of four great whites missing their liver, washed up on the beach, and there were orcas present. And they've never returned. There is still diving in False Bay, but now the focus is more on diving with in the kelp forests. Where there are quite a few endemic shy shark species. Also, the very enigmatic and ancient looking seven-gill cowno shark. Looks like a slightly goofy tiger shark in a way. That can be done with or without a cage. And then about 40 kilometers offshore, there's a great spot for diving with blue sharks in season. So from October through to June. And also, there's a good chance of being able to snorkel with makos out there. So that's the Western Cape. And then there's quite a big jump to the next most commonly dived area, which is a dive area called Aliwal Shoal. It's about a sort of 3 kilometer long fossilized sand dune. Bottom of it's about 30 meters deep, top of it's about 6 meters deep, and there's everything in between. Quite a lot of dive sites along it, offering a variety of marine life. There's a bit of coral cover there. It's like the southernmost coral reef that we'll find. Not super abundant, but there's very good Indian Ocean fish life there. It's mainly a destination for big things, so there's lots of different ray species can be seen there. They have ragged tooth sharks, also known as grey nurse sharks to our Australian cousins, or sand tiger sharks to the North Americans. So they aggregate there, and they go down there to mate from about May to November. We also have baited shark diving there, lots of oceanic black tips, and also tiger sharks pop up around there. And actually, about an hour further south, there's a spot called Protea Banks, big tuna fishing ground, which is a bit like a poor man's Galapagos, where you can see anywhere between 6 and 6,000 scalloped hammerheads on any given day. And it's also good for baited sharks, baited dives with bull sharks, Zambezis, as they call them there, most of the year, and tiger sharks from late December to late April. So all that part of KwaZulu-Natal, just south of Durban. It's definitely like a big fish destination. Then, if you move about 3.5 hours up the coast, you come to a place called Sodwana Bay, which is in a protected area. And Sodwana Bay has more coral coverage, and it has the same ragged tooth slash grey nurse slash sand tiger sharks there from about November through to April. That's where they give birth, having mated down at Aliwal Shoal. And there are a series of reefs there, have good coral coverage, plenty of hard coral, good Indian Ocean fish life. It's a little bit warmer up there. The temperature range is quite considerable. So in our summer, it's their winter, and it can drop to, Aliwal Shoal can drop to 20 degrees centigrade. But it will get up to about 27 this time of year, so April as we're speaking. And I've forgotten, minor detail, along that coastline, sort of mid-May to mid-July, we have the greatest predation on the planet, which is the South African sardine run, where millions and millions of sardines get together in pockets and move up the coast and are preyed on by various shark species, thousands of dolphins, different whales. That's a very exciting adventure, though most of the time that is done as a snorkel trip, not as a scuba diving trip, due to the need to get in and out of the water quickly to keep up with the fast-moving bait balls. It's a lot easier without cylinders to take off, get back into the boat and re-kit again. And most of the actions are close to the surface. That part of South Africa, KwaZulu-Natal, also has some very good but unheralded wildlife safari destinations, notably the very tricky to say Shushlui Umfolozi National Park, which was the first game reserve declared in South Africa. It was a protected area set up by King Shaka Zulu as his royal hunting grounds a couple of centuries ago. But that's a prolific area for wildlife. And there are a couple of other very good reserves around KwaZulu-Natal, close to the dive destinations. So it's easy to combine diving and safari there. And unlike, well, because it's less well known, for a comparable standard of accommodation in comparison to the Kruger National Park, for example, or the best private reserves around the Kruger National Park, you can get really good value for money safari there as well. And the diving is by most standards cheap. You're looking at anywhere from about £600-700 for a week's diving, 12 dives, a couple of baited shark dives, accommodation and breakfasts in KwaZulu-Natal. Then moving swiftly northwards, we cross the border from South Africa into Mozambique, literally just over the border, and you can combine South Africa and Mozambique diving in one trip. We go to a place called Ponta do Ouro, which means the point of gold in Portuguese, as an ex-Portuguese colony. This is, as we're going further north, the water's slightly warmer year-round, even more extensive coral reef coverage. Also a great place for big fish diving from October through to May. Lots of different shark species there, lots of different rays and cleaning stations. It doesn't have to be difficult diving either. South African diving sometimes has a reputation of being quite hardcore. Some of that's perpetuated by the South Africans who like to think they're really tough. Some of the dive sites are super easy. I mean, there's one at Ponta do Ouro called Doodles. It's like always a winner. I was there a couple of weeks ago, and it's like 14 meters deep, but you've got like three different species of stingray coming in to be cleaned. A loggerhead turtle just barreled its way through the dive group, sat on the sand, and was there for 45 minutes. It was there after we left, being cleaned. Bunch of potato bass or groupers hanging around there as well, coming in to be cleaned. Super photogenic, really easy to dive with. And the place is at Fish Soup. It's a great dive site. And there are quite a few like that. And then there's a few deep dive sites, Pinnacles being the most well-known one, that attracts a lot of different sharks. 19 different shark species have been seen there. In three dives there over 2 days, I saw half a dozen tiger sharks, two small schools of scalloped hammerheads, some teeny weeny, like, well, not quite that small, but some very baby, very juvenile silver tips, oceanic black tips, a couple of bull sharks cruising down below. So there's plenty going on there. And again, that's a very cost effective dive destination. A week with accommodation and a 12 dive package there is going to be around, worked out in dollars, but that's about $800. So that's going to be £600, £650, something like that. And that can be accessed either from South Africa or from Maputo now. It's only a 2-hour drive from Maputo, but you can tie it into a longer trip and dive sort of as a road trip, dive three different destinations in KwaZulu-Natal, whack on a sort of 3-4 night safari at the end. Then if we move further up the coastline in Mozambique, in sort of central Mozambique, there's a place quite well known called Tofu. That's how you want to say it. It's spelled T-O-F-O. And that's been a popular destination for diving with manta rays for quite some time. And it was there that Dr. Andrea Marshall, the BBC dubbed Queen of the Mantas, made the discovery and then did her research to prove that there are two manta ray species in the world, now known as Mobula birostris, the giant manta, and Mobula alfredi, the reef manta. So all that was done there, and you can still see both species there pretty commonly. It's also a good place for whale sharks. They have a permanent sort of aggregation of whale sharks that are there that we often see, not on scuba, but on what we call an ocean safari, on like a snorkeling trip. Other notable things there, lots of blotched fantail rays, big groupers, a couple of the biggest moray eels I've seen anywhere. One of them is like the size of a horse's head. And some cool, funky stuff that's rarely seen elsewhere, like zebra sharks, some people call leopard sharks. They're on about four different dive sites there. They're super funky little things to see. There's the bowmouth guitar fish, which looks a bit like a sort of cross between a shovel nose ray and a stegosaurus. It's got these funny bits of sort of armor plating in rows across the top of its head. And one of the most interesting discoveries there is a ray called the small-eyed stingray. It's the largest of the stingrays, and its stinger is pretty much the thickness of my forearm. And unlike most stingrays, which bury themselves in the sand nearly all the time, they're rarely seen swimming around, the small eye is a flip of that, and it's nearly always seen free swimming and rarely seen in the sand. And it's along the Mozambique coastline, it's the only place it's been seen in the water. When it was first sighted, the scientists of the Marine Megafauna Foundation that we work closely with weren't sure what they were looking at, so they contacted their colleagues around the world, and they found it and identified it from fish markets in Indonesia. And it wasn't known that its distribution went as far as the African coastline, but that's the only place it's ever been seen underwater. And most recently we got a picture of one all the way down at Ponta Dura. So there's a lot of cool stuff to be found around there. And if we go a couple of hours, 3 hours further north of Tofu, we come to a place called Morongulo, which was dived on and off sort of by South Africans in the 80s and 90s, but then it sort of fell by the wayside. But 2 years ago, a couple of friends opened up a dive center there, and we went there in 2022. And the diving there it's like Tofu, but on class A drugs. There's everything that you get at Tofu. Plus they started doing baited dives with tiger sharks with very good success there. So there's lots going on there. It's quite a different atmosphere to Tofu. Tofu is a really cool, very pleasant beach village that's grown, but it's still all sandy roads. There's a lovely vibe between like the diving community and the local community. They've done a really good job in involving Mozambican locals in diving and training them up, and we now have Mozambican instructors there. So it's a really chilled place to hang out, and there's horse riding and yoga studios and all sorts of other stuff going on there beside diving. But if you get up to Morongulo, the only thing there is the dive lodge. It's got 8 rooms and the beach is untouched. You know, I've run up and down it, done a half marathon one way, half marathon the other way, and each time I've come across about 5 fishermen on foot. It's beautiful, absolutely pristine. Then from there, if you keep going north, another couple of hours, you end up at Vilanculos. Now, Vilanculos is of strategic importance because there's an international airport there, and you can fly in there from Johannesburg or from a place called Nelspruit, which is in Kruger National Park or near Kruger National Park in South Africa. So it makes it a good place, a good way to combine the diving and safari trip through there. And from Vilanculos, you can dive Two Mile Reef, either based in the town of Vilanculos itself, or you can go and stay in some very nice luxury lodges in the Bazaruto Archipelago. So Benguera Island is the best of the bunch. Or slightly about half an hour out of Vilanculos up the coast, there are a couple of fantastic value for money 5-star places that they come in at about $350 a night per person, but it's all inclusive, spa treatments, gourmet food, wine. Really nice place to base yourself for a bit of diving and some relaxation after a safari. So that's up to Mozambique, and then the last destination up the coast is Tanzania. And there are basically 3 places that are good to dive from that I know very well up there. So they've got the island of Mafia, the island of Unguja, that most people refer to as Zanzibar, and then the island of Pemba, which is also part of Zanzibar. 3 very different places in terms of the diving and the development or lack of in most cases. So Mafia, it's a very small flat island. Most of the diving, you're diving in or around Cholu Bay, which is quite shallow, bordered by mangroves, but on a high slack tide, great visibility in the bay, lots and lots of hard corals, great for macro. And then diving in the passes, we've got some schooling barracuda, lots of grouper. And seasonally, you can dive outside of the bay on the wall, where there are lots and lots of turtles. At the same time of year that you can dive outside the bay, there's also an aggregation of whale sharks on the other side of the island. And being a very small island, it's super easy to either do whale shark snorkeling on one side or scuba diving on the other side. And the whale sharks are there from October through to March. And they're there pretty much every morning. So there's lots going on there, and also a couple of really interesting historical sites on land, not underwater. No one's found Atlantis yet. And then north of that is Unguja or Zanzibar, totally different atmosphere. Probably gets over 1 million tourist visitors a year now, most of them who don't dive. But there is a lot of hotels along the beach. It's a what most people would consider a beach resort destination. It's easy to dive and then to, you know, chill out in the afternoon around the pool or on a sandy beach. Quite a lot of dive centers there. There's a few that I trust and that I work with. I've been diving Zanzibar since 2006, so I have my well, everywhere that we send clients is somewhere that I've dived with. I won't send the client diving at a resort that I haven't been to and checked out and tested the services and looked at the safety procedures in place, the equipment, the training of the people there, because unfortunately there are some dodgy operators around. I mean, they keep the hyperbaric chamber busy, but there are some good and not so good dive centers there. Fortunately, we only work with the best ones. And there are different spots that you can stay at on the island, but typically you're diving reasonably shallow reefs between 10 and 18 meters deep, a few sloping, slightly deeper sites. It's not a big fish destination, but very colorful, good visibility most of the year. Lots and lots of scorpion fish, a variety of different species of anemone fish. We're close to the equator now, so the water's warm year round. The coral life is very, very good, both hard and soft. But it's not a big fish destination. And then half an hour plane ride further north, we're almost at the equator on the island of Pemba. Similar size to Zanzibar. It's only got about half a dozen places to stay on there. Really only sort of three dive centers on the island. And super remote, but there the diving is very different to Zanzibar. Diving off the west coast, and we're diving in the passes on an incoming tide, or on the walls on the edge of the island. But it gets deep very quickly. It drops down to about 300 meters, pretty much straight off the coast. So lots of nutrients coming up, lots and lots of corals, amazing for nudibranchs. Some reasonable sized schools of snapper and barracuda, emperors. Again, not really a big fish destination. I actually saw a great white there once when I was doing an exploratory dive, but very seldom you'll see sharks there. But superb for photography, great drift diving in, you know, warm water, and typically the vis there is 30 meters plus. I've done dives there where I know the pass is 80 meters across, and I've sat in the middle of the what sat. I've been neutrally buoyant in the middle of the pass, and I can see the wall on both sides, and I'm 30 meters down. So there's some stunning scenery there, and all those three Tanzanian islands can be combined with a wildlife safari in the national parks of Tanzania. So the very well-known Serengeti National Park and Ngorongoro Crater. And then to the south, much lesser known, Ruaha and Selous or Nyerere National Park offer great wildlife safaris as well. But you can also combine it very easily with a wildlife safari in Kenya. Masai Mara, Amboseli National Park, Tsavo East and Tsavo West, Lewa Conservancy. There are plenty of options. There are very good flight connections between Kenya and mainland Tanzania and the islands. So it can all be linked up into a bespoke package very easily.
Wow. That's a lot of information. My goodness. I'm more impressed that you remembered it all as the destinations themselves. I mean, what some fantastic trips. My goodness gracious. And you get to go all.
I've been, you know, diving that part of the world since I learned to dive in 2004 in South Africa, and I've been diving there ever since. I lived there for quite a while. I was based on Pemba Island on and off for about a year and a half, and I go back every year. I'll probably still spend 4 months of the year in Africa, diving, checking out new suppliers, checking in with current ones, and going on safari, looking for new destinations as well. I mean, I've totally forgot. New destinations, there's the Comores. If you want really out-of-the-way places, Moheli Island in the Comores. Almost no one goes there. There's one place to stay. The owner, Hans, won't mind me saying. It's quite rustic, but it does the job. It's very cost-effective, and it is. For people who want to get off the beaten track, that's pretty much as off the beaten track as you're going to get in Africa now. In fact, in most parts of the world.
Yeah, it is quite a remote place, I must say. Christopher, Thank you very much. I mean, it's been great listening to you about Indigo Safaris and all your trips. And I can only wish you well with them all. I hope they all go extremely well for everybody as well.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Thanks for your time.
No, my pleasure. And yeah, well, I'll say goodbye for now.
Cheers, Jeff.
Cheers now.
Bye-bye.
Bye bye.